Good morning. I showed up today with PowerPoint, and you guys don't have PowerPoint. So you have something called Apache I've never heard of before. I tried to convert it, and it just did not want to convert, so I will do it this way. I actually do know how to preach from a Bible. It's been a while, but I do know how to use it. Father in heaven, we love you so much. Thank you for this time where you teach us. Please impart your spirit not only to those that are here, but with the one who speaks, for he's not worthy without that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon is God's, and this is my Texas version of how you would say it, God's got this, okay? God's got this. I don't know about you, but I feel not just a little impressed, I feel a lot impressed that we are in the very, very last days. We could finish up this year easy. It wouldn't take anything to finish. Every single near you. Okay. We'll get this right. Yeah. Well, let's put it right there. How about that? There we go. All right. And so here we are at the very end. Every single prophetic piece that we have studied and believe in is in place. Not one. Now, I can remember in times when it was maybe the right president or the right, I don't know, you want to call it, the right pope or the right thing to happen or whatever, and we'd say, oh yeah, that's right here. Oh no, that's right here, but this isn't right here. But we can have this, but we can't have that. We are at the point. Would you have ever thought, let me put it like this, would you have ever thought they would shut your church down? Wow. And we would agree with it. Wow. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a bad thing for the COVID. I got that. I had it. I had COVID. I did not like it. I don't ever meet it again. But I think that we have been conditioned in a way that we don't even know it to get ready for what's about to happen. But we don't need to be asleep. We need to be awake. In fact, the Bible calls it vigilant and alert, you know, and not drunk with wine, as it says. We should be awakened to the fact that it's not only happening, but it's happening now quicker than I've ever seen it happen before. And what does the wonderful word say? The last works will be a rapid one. Oh my. The things that are happening right now, I mean, in our own streets and everything else. I do believe in this, in what's being said here when it says in 2 Timothy what it does, but it says, but know this. Very well read too, by the way. In these last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. Wow. I want what I want when I want it. And there's nothing fast enough anymore, is there? I mean, I'm one of the old people. I had a 1996 version of a computer. I can remember just turning it on and going to get something to eat, and then come back, and it still wasn't quite up, you know. And then I can remember when I needed to get on the internet, you would hit something and go ding, 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 ding. Anybody remember that? The young people have no clue what I'm talking about. Ring up, you know. I can remember when it took so long, but you didn't worry about it. You just waited because that's what it took. And now if we turn our phone on and in 2 seconds it's not doing everything we want it to do, we say, what's going on? You know. See, we've been conditioned to get ready for things to happen quickly. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You see that lately? Oh my God, this stuff in the streets, what's going on? In our day, we might have caused a riot, but we wouldn't even thought about tearing a business up while you were at it. I mean, we would have screamed and hollered. Maybe our biggest deal would have been throwing trash on the floor. Look at that. But people don't care about people much anymore in the world. They're disobedient. Not just their parents. They're disobedient to the laws and to the officers. And I understand the problems with that. But still. But then unthankful. Amen? Unholy. You do stuff for people and they'll go, well, that wasn't quite what I wanted. But I used to love when I got it. If I had, you know, we weren't rich or anything, but or close to it. But boy, if I just had any presents under the Christmas tree, you know, that was a big deal. When I grew up. And now it's, well, what is it? I don't care. It was me. It was just whatever. I got something. That was cool. But what is it? Now, I don't know if I want that or not. Really? Unthankful. Unthankful for the very things we have, like just the simple bit of just breathing. You know, that's a blessing. Ask some of those who have COVID and it's hit their lungs. They would just love to take a clean breath of air. Do that real quick. It'll make you feel better. And if you can't, you miss that. I remember in my COVID experience, I had a headache. I thought my head was just going to explode. Boy, I just said, you know, Lord, if it's time, I'm good. just take me on right now. This will be good. I said with COVID, you kind of go through two stages. One, you don't think it's ever going to end. And two, you're afraid that it's not ever going to end. And you want it to end, and you can't get it to end. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day, and it's gone. Just all of a sudden, you wake up, I felt better. Wow. But unthankful? I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for health. I lost 45 pounds during it. I mean, you can't tell that. I mean, I got some extra room in my sweaters and stuff. But I don't recommend the diet program. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal. And despisers of good. I see that all over the place. Traitors, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of men. Having a form of what? Godliness, it says. But denying its power. Of course, it gives you a brave statement there, from such turn away. But God says, don't worry. I got this. You know, when he came to Daniel, he said, yeah, I see the lines too, Daniel. Don't worry. What? I've got this. When the three Hebrews saw the fire, what did he say? Don't worry. What? I've got this. When we see these things unfolding before us, Daniel 12, verse 1 talks about it. It talks about a time that has never been before, this type of tribulation coming. And never will be again, because there'll never be another one. The worst tribulation. Now, we can think of tribulations, can't we? I mean, like World War II. What did the Jews go through? Seriously. Wow. And God says, no, no. The one that's fixed to come upon you and me is worse than there ever was since there was a nation, is the actual quote. How do you prepare yourself for that? That's what we're going to talk about today, okay? Because we have to remember, God has got this. Isaiah 55, if you want to turn with me. I won't have it on the screen. And some of the things that was on my screen was, when I put it in this other deal, it blew it up so big I couldn't even read it. So I'm going to have some trouble here. So I'm going to try to read it. If not, you can help me. Isaiah 55, go to verse 8 and 9. Because we don't think the same way God thinks. Amen? We see and complain and gripe because we have a Red Sea in front of us. Right? But God, you just led us here? I got a Red Sea. There's no way we get across this. But God says something very different in this particular scripture. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He says, for my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts, no. Nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Boy, this is one of those messed up ones. Can't read it all. Read it for me. For so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than what? Your thoughts. That way it reads? He says, you haven't figured it out yet. That I know everything that's going on. I know how to get around it. I know how to get past it. I know how to get through it. In fact, we don't need God to help us through the last days. We need God to carry us through the last days. We must be totally, completely dependent upon God and God alone. We don't have any other options. Well, we do. And one is to be lost forever because we decide we can't, you know, we're just not going to be able to handle it, so we'll just take the mark. But to make it through, we have to look at it just as if it was the Red Sea, just as if it was the fiery furnace, just as if it was the lion's den, just as if it was when Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir, people from Mount Seir attacked Israel, and God told Jehoshaphat, don't worry, do not be dismayed. And in my words, he said, I've got this. Amen? That's why we have to be in the last days. You won't make it otherwise. That's the only way there is to prep. You know how they have things today or people today, they call them preppers. They're prepping for the last days. If you're one of those, bless your heart. Someone's going to come take all your food away from you if they have bigger guns. And I'm sorry to tell you that. Someone's going to come take your house from you, or someone's going to do something, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I serve a God who only needs a rock to give me water. I serve a God who says, my bread and water are sure. I've got this. But do you trust me to bring it on? Oh, if you want to save up, save up. It's okay. I mean, maybe we'll all come help you eat yours for a while. But I don't need that. You know what I need? I need God. I don't need anything else. The people in the last days are only going to get through because they have God, not because they've somehow stored up enough stuff or dug them a hole deep enough in the earth that they can go hide in until it all passes, because they're going to find you. The devil knows where you are. He'll say, they're right over there. Amen?
Amen.
He don't care about you. So there's some things we need to be doing to prepare. One of the things is we need to be about our Father's work. Amen? He's very serious about that. We need to be doing things that please Him and doing it His way. God's work must be finished. In fact, you're responsible for the finishing of the work right here. Amen. God's going to look at every one of your hearts and say, what did you do? And you can't hide then. No. I can show up for Sabbath going, how's everything? It's wonderful. It can be tearing me up inside out, but I can show up saying that. You can no longer hide things because the almighty eye of God can see into your heart. And He says, you best be doing my work. What are some of the things we can do? Well, one of the things we can do is help others, but it's how we do it too. I think that's important. And I think it's important for us to realize that we don't do things to get acclaims from men. Amen? If we're going to help someone or do something, we need to get up in front of church and say, I want y'all to know I did all this helping this poor person right over here. This poor person. I did all the helping. And God has something here. I want you to read part of this with me. Go to Matthew chapter 25, even though I can't see it on mine at all. And start with verse 37, I think it is. It's that last scene of earth when the righteous come before God also, and the unrighteous, the sheep and the goats. Matthew chapter 25, verse 37 says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? I like that. You get back here. When did we see you? Oh boy, it really went flying past. When did we see you hungry and feed you? You and thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? What God is saying in reverse is you should be what? Feeding, clothing, giving drink, giving visits. And if you're not, you're in trouble. To prepare for the last days, we best be doing what? The Father's work. And he goes on to say this. Boy. He said, and it's not on this slide now, it's just taken it and moved it, put them away. When you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And God says, if you weren't doing those things, and the next people that come up, what do they say? When did we not feed you? And when did we not da da da? When did we not da? He says, when you didn't do it into the least of these, you didn't do it to me. God says, in the last days, you best be going about doing your work, because one group that didn't do the work, talked about it, planned it, but never finished, never did it, is sitting over here in the wrong place. And the others will be saved. How do you prep for the last days? First of all, you get about your Father's business, helping those that need help, doing the work that God has given us to do. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go with verses 1 through 4, hopefully, if I can get it to do this. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go through verses 1 through 4. I want you to get there with me. It says, take heed. Now listen to this, because this is what I really want to get across to you, how serious Jesus is about this. Take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no, how much? No reward from your Father in heaven. Wow. If you're doing it for your own glory, you're in trouble. If you think that is, that you're going to have it, because that's all you get, is the glory of men. But you don't get the reward of God. Wow. We need to be really in tune with our Lord. Then it says, if I can get it to do it. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. I think that's where we get that old phrase, you know, don't toot your own horn. It says, don't be sounding a trumpet like the hypocrites, the people that say, look what all I've done. Instead, just do the work. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing it for Jesus, but he says, if you did it to the least of these, you did it for me. Just do the work. In the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have the glory of men, however I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Wow. We get that phrase from the Bible also, by the way. Tooting your horn and right hand don't know what the left hand's doing. In other words, there shouldn't be something that you happen to tell everybody what you're doing. Some people say, well, I like to give a witness of what happened. Well, that's good. I understand that. We went out yesterday and we gave hugs. Okay, that's good. But don't say it like tooting your horn, which makes it a big deal. I went out and I did some wonderful things. I went around and giving hugs when nobody else was giving them. You see what I'm saying? Just go about doing the Father's work, and do it for what? The right reasons. And do it so that you can be glorified by God, not just by men. Do good to please God. That's the first thing you got to remember to do. Folks, we need to be about that. Remember it says that Christ's method alone? In other words, in my own paraphrase, going out and reaching out to people, helping them in their needs, is the only one to have true success. Oh, we have success when once a year, maybe, we send out flyers and have a meeting, and we teach them what we believe about prophecy, and that has to be taught, because they have to make decisions on that. But how do you get them to come here other than the few that were like me, which I'll tell you about later? I mean, I like that thing I got in the mail. I wasn't an Adventist. I didn't grow up an Adventist. You know, the kind that had the dragon with a red tongue and the red eyes and the green face. I mean, you know, it caught my attention. It still works today. I know it's horrible, but it still works. But I learned about that, but I really never learned until I figured out other things, that what God really wanted me to do was to help people. Then people would trust me. Then I could give them the word. Amen? He says you'll gain their confidence. And then you'll teach them. We're trying to get by the easy way. I'll just let the mailman be my evangelist. Mail out my stuff. And that doesn't work very well. Or you would have more people here today. I'm not talking about COVID and everything else. I've seen in all of our churches. Our churches have the distinct pleasure of having the ability to mark every other row so on communion day, you know, it's easier to serve. There should be enough people that you can't go every other row. Amen? Amen. You got that? That should be, but we have it. We're proud of it. Every other row makes it easier to serve. You shouldn't have that ability. Amen? Amen. See, we don't think, we've been conditioned to have less people. We need to get conditioned, because there's a lot of people that are fixing to be looking for the last day truth, folks. And they don't know you. They're not going to come in here. But if they know you, they'll come listen to what you have to say. Amen? And they're going to fill this place up. And some of you may leave. Just give you prophecy. Hope it ain't me. But we need to be ready. Amen? So God says, if you're not doing this unto me by doing it to the least of these, then you are thrown out. So the first thing we need to make sure we're doing the work of God, but we're doing it for the right reason. Does that make sense? Second thing you need to do is you need to learn to enjoy prayer. Folks, what's coming up right now is prayer time. I'm talking about serious prayer time. And it can't be the kind of prayer that you're just doing because you're in the foxhole and the bullets are going over your head. Not that kind. That's another one of those kind of things that, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're praying at least. Amen. But that's not it. Prayer should be a thing that you can't wait to get to every single day. Not something that you do in your car on the way to work because you didn't take time to get up early enough to get it done before you did that. You know, I think of God in it. I have this special place for my devotion. You know, it's like right here, you know. Say it was right here. And I already imagine God is already here, waiting on me. Amen? Amen? God's waiting on me at the time of what? Devotion. I should be so anxious to get there that I nearly trip because I'm running so fast and I'm old and I can't do that as well as I used to get down to where my devotion place is. Prayer should be enjoyable. You should look so forward to it that when you're praying, I can remember when it wasn't for me. I'll give a true confession. I did prayer because I had to. Let me give you even better confession. I did prayer because I had to as a pastor. Yeah, pastors can go through a drought. But that prayer time should be something I can't wait to get to. It should be something that not when I'm praying. You ever done the one where you prayed 5 minutes and it felt like an hour? Okay. Or now it should be like an hour you pray and it only seems like 5 minutes. Because you just can't talk enough. And I grant you now, my prayers are nowhere near as organized as they used to be. I used to have organized prayers. I did my this in my intercessory part, and I did this, you know, and they tell you all the things just with praise, you know. Now I just ramble, because I can't wait to talk. And I'll get off key, I'll say, Lord, sorry. I got way off here, but you know. And I'll be talking to him. I just love talking to him, and he loves talking to me. He does. I can actually sometimes hear him laugh at me when I'm praying. Harvey, would you please, we're back over here. But I love doing it. I can blow an hour off and not even know I've done it. I'm serious. Now, I'm saying that because I used to be five minutes seemed like an hour, and now an hour just flies by. My wife will come, because she gets up early, she goes and she does hers, I do mine, then we do ours, right? So she'll come in and I'm still just, you still praying? Yeah, me and the Lord, we're busy. But I enjoy it. Prayer's time should be something, and in the last days, folks, you don't need to be wondering if you're okay with God. You should know it because you communicate with Him every day. I could just see my wife, you know. I mean, what if you had that prayer where you tell God, what do? You get on there and you have your list, right? You can't wait to get through, so you mark it off. I got that done. As you go down through your kids, your grandkids, you go boom, 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 boom. You go through all that stuff, and it's okay to have lists. Pray by lists. But you know what? God must get very tired of that repetitious prayer. Now I've got to the point where I don't feel guilty if I don't mention every name. I'd say, God, my children, my grandchildren, and my nearly great-grandchildren, child, is on the way. I love every one of them. I want you to send out your Holy Spirit to every one of my children. And then I'm about praying for the church. Then I'm praying for the conference. And then I prayed for you guys before I ever got here. This morning and in yesterday, last night in our prayers, I prayed for this church. I believe that every church better be a light in the community, or you will answer to a holy God. And He doesn't want to throw that over your head and go, look at me, I'm doing that. No, He's not trying to do that. He's trying to say, I want you to be ready. And if you're not in tune with me, when these things come down upon your head, you will not be ready for the fiery furnace. You will not be ready for the lion's den. You will not be ready for the Red Sea. And you won't be ready if you don't know that He provides everything you need. See, God's real. And when you pray to Him, you need to pray to Him like He's a real person, not just some being stuck up there taking your prayer requests. Sorry, but this is a specific kind of problem for me because I went through it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 now through 8 says this. And when you pray, kind of what I was talking about, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Well, I mean, he's on in chapter 6. I mean, he's saying, we have a lot of religious people that are just hypocrites. Why do you think our kids say that? And I'm talking about myself. Why do you think our kids say that? I've got one of our five children that have decided he's not sure there's a God. Breaks my heart. Why? He says, well, Dad, the church is full of hypocrites. I know them. I've been out with them on Pathfinders when they cursed, when they hurt themselves, when they did stuff. Or this nearly fell on them. I said, well, there's people. You know, you pray for them. Don't quit going to God. I don't know if there is a God. That breaks my heart. And I love him with all my heart, that sweet boy. But wow. What's he seeing in us? What's he seeing in me? What's he seeing in our home? Amen? Amen. They know the real deal. So we need to pray for them. Amen? It needs to be a good prayer, not just, you know, just get them off the list prayer. It should be praying in specifics, especially like that. But pray. When you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites, it says. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Wow. Have you ever seen some of those guys pray? I have. My knees are not anywhere near as good as they used to be. And you had a wonderful prayer today, by the way, brother. But I have had them go on and on and on and on. And we have specific folks instructions from the prophet who says don't do that. You're really wearing out the saints. Amen. I'm not saying you can't pray long, but you shouldn't in church right now in front of everybody. Don't do it to do that. When you pray in front of church, pray so that you get a good prayer out. That's always what I like to hear. But you don't have to go, oh, I've heard them. I've heard them. What about you? Oh, God in heaven, glorious Father. I mean, oh, my goodness. Just say, Lord, I need you, and our church needs you. And we have specific prayer requests here. They're important to us. This one's sick, and this one needs that. Okay, yeah. Amen? Yeah, maybe not. For they love standing in the Seventh-day Adventist church on corners and streets and be seen by men. But surely I say to you, listen to what it says, they will have what? Yeah, their reward. And it's not going to be the reward of God. It's the reward of men. But when you go, I like this. But you, when you go pray in your room, shut the door. Do you have a specific place where you go and pray? Yeah, me too. I got one. If you don't have one, find one. Find one. I have some people tell me, mine is when I open. I do that too sometimes. Especially with COVID. I wasn't feeling well. So I just opened my eyes and closed them back up again. Said, Lord, I love you. I've got a day today. I'm not feeling any better, but I know you got your hand on me. You know. You just go and pray through those things. Because I am never without hope if I have God. And the least thing that can happen, the little bitty thing that means very little, is I could die. The next thing I see is Jesus. Amen? Second coming. Called my name. Amen. What can devil do to you? Nothing. Nothing. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you, what? Openly. Amen? He says, you know, you really want to learn to pray. Pray the way that God wants you to pray so you'll be rewarded by Him. Amen? I like that. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do. Nothing wears God out, I think, more than that. For they think they will be heard of for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you need of. When? Before you ask. Remember the heathen's prayers to Baal all day, waiting for fire to come down, right? Did you ever really look at Elijah's prayer? It's about that long. He just said, I believe you. Show them who you are. More or less, my paraphrase. And he did. Amen? That's the God we serve. So learn to enjoy prayer. Fasting. I'm going to tell you, part of my weight loss wasn't COVID. Part of it was fasting. Fasting taught me discipline, folks. It didn't teach me anything else. It taught me discipline. It taught me that I didn't have to have what I wanted to have at that second. I could get by without it. Because God's already provided. It's there waiting for me. I don't have to worry about it. It's almost the same thought process we should always have, even if we don't see one drop of food in front of us. If we pray, God will provide. Amen? Isn't that what he says? Your bread and your water shall be sure. Do you believe that? No, do you really believe that? I can't hear you. Do you really believe that? Well, then that's the way we are to pray, and that's the way we are to know. We don't need to be a people of doubt. Oh, ye of little faith. Moreover, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrite. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't act like the hypocrites. Don't serve people like a hypocrite. But here it says, don't fast like a hypocrite. You know what the hypocrite does? With a sad countenance. You imagine showing up for church? Going, what's wrong, brother? I'm fasting for the Lord today. We would laugh at him. God says, don't do that. In fact, he gives some other pretty good stuff for us here. He says, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be to men fasting. But he says, surely I say to you, they have their reward, right? Not God's reward, they have their reward. Oh yeah, brother, bless your heart. Yeah, you're fasting today. But you, when you fast, listen to this. Anoint your head. That means freshen up. Okay? Fix your hair. Okay? Anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to be to men to be fasting, but to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Amen? Amen? I lost weight that I never would have thought I would have lost. Just intermittent fasting, learning to discipline myself a little. Wow. I had one guy, I tried not to laugh, but and he was so serious about it. He had that look, you know. I said, what do you mean? Well, since yesterday at lunch on Friday, I've been fasting. I said, well, why at lunch on Friday? That's kind of a weird time to start, but it's okay. Because in intermittent fasting, you do it different times. He said, that's so I could eat potluck on Sabbath. I said, why do you look so wore out? I mean, one day? What are you going to do when you're stretched out 3 days and you haven't had something to eat yet, but God's got it all planned for you? You're just going to depend on God. Amen? So, anyway. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Your Father will. Fasting needs to be seen only by God. Amen? Amen? Another thing to prepare for the last days, and I'm almost finished here. Lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up treasures where? In heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, oh boy, what else is there? Your heart. What does that mean? What you really count as something. What you treasure. So what is your treasure? The things of this earth, which are going to burn, and you can't take with you? Or is it that which you lay up in heaven? You know, those people that you give Bible studies to, those people that you help, and finally they trust you and come to a meeting. Those things that you've done for others. Money that you've given. Important. This one's the one I think the most damaging of our children today. The lamp of the body is the eye. Matthew chapter 6, still, go to verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, in other words, what you let into it is good, your whole body will be full of light. What do you allow to come into your eyes? What do you read? What do you watch? You know, and I've even tried to, I mean, I'm the worst. I mean, I came from the TV finally really got to be good generation, you know, and I would see sit on Saturday mornings instead of coming to church. We sat and watched comedies. I mean, I was in that. I grew up with all that, okay? So it was difficult for me as an Adventist who they would tell me, you shouldn't be watching these things anymore. You mean I can't watch Bonanza? I mean, that's old, you know? And they said, no, why? Why then? Well, what do? Well, they sit around and talk to ladies in the bars and they drink and they kill people. Yeah. I had been so desensitized to that I liked Hoss Cartwright and Little Joe and Adam and you know, I love that whole thing. But now I look at that kind of show and I go, you're right. Who was their favorite friends? Some of the ladies that worked the bars. We know what they are. We won't say it out loud. Right? And what do they do in the bar? They sit around and what? Set her up, bartender. Amen? See, we're desensitized to stuff. Modern day, NCIS. I hear so many people say, I like NCIS. And I'm going to have to tell you, I'm going to have to tell you, NCIS, I used to love Jethro and Abby and Tony, and I knew all of them, their background stories and everything, and I'm a pastor. What do they do on that show? Oh, they sleep around with other people that aren't married to, they drink, and they kill people. Wow. You see what I'm saying? You need to be careful what you put in this eye, because it goes straight to the soul, if you would, straight to the heart. Watch what you're doing. In the last days, you will be taken away with some of the stuff I think they'll be showing you. Some of it could be miracles, which aren't miracles, you know, the devil's miracles. Okay, Pastor, you tell me now, I can't even watch TV. Yeah, you can watch TV if you want. Be very careful what you watch. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What are you wanting then? If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? All right. I'm going to go to the last one so I can finish up here, because we got started really late. It wasn't me. Sorry about that. The last one is do not worry. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to finish up that chapter. Verse 25. I like what this says because it just really speaks to my heart. Because I'm a worrier. Therefore I say to you, direct words from Jesus, folks. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns. And yet your Father, your Heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? What does worrying, does worrying lift you up or does worrying take you down? Yeah, you can't lift yourself up worrying. It didn't work that way. It's a burden you put on yourself when you worry. And God says, you're my people. I know you see a lion's den in front of you, but don't worry. I got this. I know you see a fiery furnace in front of you. Don't worry. I've got this. Amen? Amen? That's what God's saying to us. Don't worry, I got this. Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. Verse 29, and yet I say to you that in Solomon, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then he gives you why. If God so clothes the grass with these beautiful flowers, right? But tomorrow it goes into the oven, it gets burned up. Will he not much more clothe you? Because you're to last for eternity. You're worth more than the fields and the grass. And then they're going to be burned up. He makes them nice. He plans for you to have the same. He will not much more clothe you. Oh, you of little faith, he says. Therefore, do not worry, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall wear. After all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first, what should you do every morning first? Amen. His righteousness. He says, you get all tied up in this and that and the other thing and everything else. Before you know it, you've missed your devotion time, and then you're on your way to work, and you halfway miss it because you get mad for the person that cuts you off in traffic. You know, it's just difficult. So it's good for you to get up an hour earlier. Go to bed an hour earlier. To spend time with God so you can be in heaven. Amen? That's not a works deal. That's a relationship. He says, you're going to believe the lions more than me if you don't have that relationship. That's the problem. You're going to believe the fiery furnace more than me if you don't have that relationship. So get after it. You're going to believe the Red Sea is impossible. Instead, with me, all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But just like the three Hebrews, if he decides it's time for me to die, I'll just die and wake up at the end. Amen? I don't want God to be discouraged because of me. Seek first His. So do not worry. When I was coming into the church, I was a 24-karat Babylonian. I had everything wrong. I don't think I had one thing right, other than righteousness. The Baptists are good about teaching you grace, righteousness, and forgiveness. They got that down pat. Sorry, they do. There's other religions that have denominations that have things that are right. I came into the, it was just so weird. I got that thing with the beast on it, you know. Went to it, and it was so packed in that library room that they said, well, tomorrow night we're meeting again, but we're going to have to meet at the church. And what a wonderful way. It was so packed that most of us were standing up in the back of the room, right? And he said, this is put on by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I was like, whoever that is, who just watched it, something or another, whatever he said, just teach me. I'd been through a bad thing. I'd lost everything in the oil fields of the 1980s. I'd lost everything. Went through bankruptcy, went from my company, went through bankruptcy personal, went through a divorce, everything. I mean, I lost everything. Not a Christian. Wasn't doing very well when my life proceeded much further until my dad said, well, it's time to retire. Oil fields, he was an oil field engineer. He said, we're going to retire. This is just too bad. The oil fields is going in a terrible direction. So okay. He says, you don't have anything to do? I was a millennial, folks, before millennial was cool. I went home and lived with my dad for a while, my mom and dad. And we moved out to where we had a ranch, which was in dilapidated, hadn't been used much. We kind of leased out the land to people who wanted to farm it. And we had built fences, and I got over my habits of alcoholism because I sweat like crazy putting those fences up and everything else. It works, you know. God has His way of working around things. And then after we did that, you know, we went to the, you know, I had met a woman and still out of the church, and it wasn't a good thing. But anyway, regardless, we ended up having to get married. That's all I will say about that. And here I was hitched up again and with someone that I didn't know very well. And then the invite comes in the mail. I was like, Lord, this is a little bit early, please. You would have helped me out of that. I would have known not to do things I shouldn't be doing, you know, but better. And the invite came and I learned things, folks, that I thought I understood, but I never, ever, ever understood. Our truth is so clear, so beautiful, so absolutely pure. Oh my goodness. Take it from one who had it wrong all over. Secret rapture, I had the whole thing. And here we are, going through this Revelation seminar, and we come to the Sabbath. Now, I had been kind of a big shot in the oil field, but boy, when you don't have any work, you take any work you can. And I went back to my high school roots. I worked in a grocery store. Went and started putting applications in a grocery store. And we'll see how this works. I'll take whatever it takes I can get. And boom, I got a job. They hired me as the assistant manager of the grocery store. Great, because my resume looked real good, but it wasn't really worth anything. But anyway, the resume. And so they took me, but guess what the busiest day was? Oh, yeah. Two things happened. One, it was truck day. How many of you know what truck day is? That's when stuff comes in. You got to unload it off the trucks and put it in the back room. But you also have to stock it because Sunday, the next day, is the first day of the new ad. Okay, back then. And so you had a new ad coming out. You had to have all the stuff stacked up and in stacks and all the things and nice big signs on them, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so I come across the Sabbath and I went and talked to Pastor Rudy Juarez, the pastor of the Adventist church there. I said, I don't know. He says, just believe. He says, it's stuff if you've learned. Has it been good? Yeah. Oh, yes, Rudy. This is amazing. I don't need you. I got my Bible. That's pretty cool. I can tell people what. I soaked it in, guys. So I said, okay. So I prayed about it. Went to my boss. And I love this. I said, well, Jerry, I tried to look real serious already. I got something I need to talk to you about. He goes, okay, what is it? I said, well, I don't know if you noticed me, but I've been taking Bible studies and going to some studies at night. He said, I have. I noticed you stopped smoking. I said, yeah, well, it was better for me to do that. You know, that, by the way, folks, they never had asked me to quit smoking to join the church yet. They were waiting on that because they knew I smoked, okay? I mean, I would go into that Revelation seminar with my Dr. Pepper and my hamburger because I'd just gotten off work. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would sit there and there were some of them said, boy, I wanted that Dr. Pepper with you. I said, no, you don't need it now. Here they were, I was ahead of my, but I went through that. So I went to him, I said, you know, I really need, I can't work anymore on Friday nights after sundown and until Saturday night. And I hadn't thought through the process, how I would help this. I said, but I've got a plan. So I told him my plan. I would come in after sundown on Saturday. I would work all the stuff I needed to work, go home, get about 3 or 4 hours sleep, come back and work the whole full day. That's from the morning till night, at night when it closed. I said, I could do that. He said, that's a lot of work. I got that. He said, I don't know. No, I don't know, Harvey. And I was praying. And then I had that, oh ye of little faith moment. And I was going to solve this for God, right? I said, well, if there's an emergency, I'll work. He goes, okay. That's it. I was like, oh, okay. Whew. Past that part, you know, I was a young Christian, guys. Don't hit me yet. All right? I was just a baby. And so he you know, it happened. But in just 2 weeks, guess what happened? Of course it did. Joe, the second assistant underneath me, they found him to have terminal cancer. Didn't think he'd be living more than a couple of weeks. Joe won't be able to be here next Saturday. You're going to have to come and work. I said, well I can't. I told you that. You know, he says, you said that if it was an emergency, you would work. And Texas boys, I don't know if they're different here in Indiana or not. Pretty much your word, your bond. It really is. And boy, it was like, and I said, okay, I'll work. That was the most horrible day. It must have been 10, 12 weeks long, that one day. And this was the time when you sacked the groceries. Anybody remember those days? And there wasn't a difference in plastic or paper. You just got paper. And you would sack them up and you would say, you want this in the back seat or the trunk? And you would take it out to the car and you'd put it in the car. Nobody remembers that. And I didn't care if I put eggs on the bottom and milk on top. I was having a horrible day. Just horrible. Got through the day. I cried when I went home and I prayed and I said, God, I feel so horrible. I'm so sorry that I did that. I said, I'll never do it again. And so I went to my boss the next day, talked to him, said, I know I did that this time, but I'm taking my agreement back with you. If you don't want to, you can fire me right now and that's fine, but I'm not going to work again on this. And I'm just not going to do it. Well, I don't know. I said, well, that's okay, because it's okay for you not to know. But I'm telling you, I know I'm not going to work again on the Sabbath of the Lord. He goes, well, we'll just have to see how it works out. And then I went into that self-righteous mode. The one where he says, oh, Lord, let me suffer like the disciples. That's a stupid prayer. I want to tell you straight up. Stupid prayer. That's not the one you want to pray, okay? Because it can happen, okay? And so I was like, I want to suffer for you. I want to do it. Test me now. Test me. You know, 2 weeks is all it took last time. Test me again. I'm ready. Oh, how dumb we are in our younger life. 3 weeks. 4 weeks. A month. And a half. 2 months passed. I was like, God, test me. And then born to me was the absolute most beautiful blue-eyed girl you've ever seen in your whole life. My Gabby, Gabrielle. All the church people were there on Saturday night, and we were showing off, and they all looking, they're like, y'all look real funny on the other side. That was back when you could get in before COVID, you know. And they were all looking inside the nursery, and I was carrying her around, you know, no face mask. And man, it was great. Went home the next day. Monday I went to work. Guess who walks up to me? Jerry. Joe's dad passed away. You're gonna have to work. I said, Jerry, I told you. Doesn't devil know timing? I told you I couldn't work, and I wouldn't work. He says, now Joe's dad passed away. If there ever was a good work, this is it. I said, you know, disobeying God doesn't mean, I wouldn't lie to glorify God. I wouldn't break his Sabbath to glorify God. That doesn't happen. He says, this is something any Christian would do. And I said, I just can't do it, and I won't. I'm sorry. He says, you're not going to work. This is on Monday, right? You're not going to work Saturday? I said, no, sir. I'm not going to work. He says, I don't need you today. I said, you're firing me? He says, yes, you're fired. I was like, yes. I get to suffer. I think he thought I had just absolutely flipped out. Got my keys out and give it to him. I said, Jerry, God bless you. I understand the whole thing. Went home. It was all great. You know, all wonderful. First week, I got to go to church. It was great. Well, I'd gone a couple of times and I had my bad thing. And I went and it was so wonderful and everything. I'd already been baptized and everything was great. I just thought, second week was wonderful. Third week, kind of wonderful. Fourth week, I put in applications in every place I could find. Every kind of job that I had any kind of place. Because I had a lot of qualifications in different directions. It was all good and well until you got to that part of the application that says days that you cannot work. And they see what? Friday to Saturday. And they're like, well, we'll keep your application on file. I know what that meant. File 13 probably, but you know. Yeah. I went home. We had just a few diapers left. Now you know how infants use diapers. This wasn't, even we were past the wash them stage. They were the throwaways. Had a little bit of formula left. Hardly any food in the house. And I just felt broken. I went and buried my head in the couch. I just started crying. I said, God, I didn't do this for anybody else. I just did it for you. My heart was broken. I said, because my dad told me, when this Adventist thing doesn't work, you know, just tell me, I'll help you out. I said, no, God, I'm not going to him, I'm coming to you. There's no way in the world I would have done this any other way except for you. And God, we were down like to that can of beets, and I don't even like them, and they're the only thing left in the shelf, you know. I don't like beets. And here we were, I said, God, you've got to help me, because you're the only one who can. And then, folks, if you've never had it before, I can't describe it to you. There's no way. Bible calls it the peace of God. It passes all understanding. It makes no sense. Came upon me head to toe, all the way down. I sit back on my heels and then I stood up and I was just, I immediately went to the kitchen and opened the icebox because I knew it was going to be full. It wasn't. But that was okay, you know, that was all right. Man, I felt so good about that time. Knock came on the door. I went from the kitchen area, I went back to the front door, I opened the door, Pastor Rudy Juarez. He says, how you doing, Harvey? I said, fine. For 5 minutes ago, I was crying my eyes out, right? I'm fine. God is so good to me. Really? He said, well, he had this look. He kind of scratched his head like this. I'll never forget. He's like, well, we've been worried about you. You haven't asked for anything. You didn't say anything. You just said everything was okay. He said, anyway, I had to tell you that the church took up an offering. For you, before I prayed, the answer was already on the way. Folks, what's coming upon us soon? Don't worry about it. God's got it. That's the God I serve. Father in heaven, we know there's a time coming ahead of us, but we also know there's a second coming ahead of us also. And we look forward to that, when all things will be set straight. Father, help us to have not a little faith, but let us have a lot of faith. What we don't have supply for, you said it's a gift. We want faith. Father, help us be witnesses, not only to ourselves and our families, but help us be witnesses to others who are in need, who don't have faith, who don't have a hope like we do. Let us be about our Father's business, please. Teach us. And Father, never let us forget what you can do. Calling water from a rock, laying fresh bread upon the ground. Father, help us to see that. Help us not to see the Red Sea, not to see the fiery furnace, not to see the lions. But Father, as we look up to heaven, all we see is you. For we know you provide. So Father, now I don't know in this congregation this morning, I prayed this morning before I ever came that if there was someone here who needed this sermon, that it would be one that would uplift them and let them know there's hope. There's hope. So Father, there may be some right now who are needing you. They're in discouragement, or maybe something in their life, or maybe even a sin that's overpowering them. It may be whatever it is, their family, their marriage. But Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, fill them with faith right now that they may see you who has all answers for everything. Please, Father, right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that. But if you're needing prayer this morning or something that you're needing in your life, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, would you please just quietly raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Bless you. Yes. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? Father in heaven, you've seen the hands that are raised today. I don't know what each one of those things are, but I know one thing for certain. You can take care of every single one of those things. So give them faith as they look forward to you now, not as one who sometimes answers, but one who has the answer always within him. Help us know that all things are possible, that we can do all things, have all things that we need, Father, through Christ who gives it to us in strength. Please now, Father, I don't know each one of them, but I know you. Go to them, their family, themselves, whichever it may need, right now. Children, grandchildren, whatever they may need right now. Marriage, finances, whatever it may need right now, Father, show them how much of a God you are. Provide for them, Father, so that they may have the faith to teach others. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen.